We're going to talk about a little bit of a problem that a lot of men have, self-included. I want to take you back many years ago when I began to come to church here. And many of you guys may find yourself in this boat. So I would come to church on the weekend or come on a Wednesday night, and then I'd just go back to my apartment. I'd be there by myself, and that's life, you know. I graduated college. I was single, just kicking it. I kind of began to isolate myself from the world because I knew I was saved and I couldn't participate in those things. But then, on the other hand, I'm sitting in my apartment or by myself, you know, just kind of kicking it. I go to church, I come home, and that's it. And so I was isolated. And there was a brother by the name of Pastor Neil Ortiz. If you guys were here on Wednesday night, he taught. And he kind of said, I want you to show up on a Saturday morning to one of these. And he sat me down at one of these tables, and then he asked me to lead the table, which was a little bit scary. But it was quite the eye-opening experience. And little by little, the Lord began to use that partnership and being around other brothers to kind of change my life, and here I am today. So we're going to be talking about men and isolation. We're going to be talking about how we can be connecting with one another. If you're that guy that is alone by yourself throughout the week. Maybe you're married, but you still don't have those godly relationships that you seek. Or if you're the guy that shows up to church, you're trying to walk away from the world, but it kind of keeps pulling you back. But you're like, Lord, I don't have any friends, Christian brothers that I can lean on. And my friends just keep pulling me back into the bars and pulling me back into the wrong scene. Today is for you, and we're glad that you're here. So before these brothers come up, I just want to remind you, we got these fancy glasses. We got these for Father's Day, and we got a lot of them. So on your way out, if you notice the table over there on the edge, there's one for each and every man here. If you want to fill up your coffee cup, feel free to take one home. But at this time, I want to welcome my brothers. So I'm going to introduce them one by one. Moses Botello. Give him a hand, gentlemen. We have Dennis Popper, Edward Sleuth, Tim Combs, and a brother you guys may all know, Johnny Martinez. He's been with the ministry for a while. So these are faithful brothers. These are my friends. And today we're going to be talking about a very specific topic. So buckle up, gentlemen. Be prepared to be challenged. Now, before we get into it, I'm going to present a challenge to you right now. All right. Some of you may have come to be in a place of comfort, a comfort zone. You come to your table, you know who your buddies are, but you haven't really gotten out of that comfort zone. So right now, I'm going to tell all the leaders that are sitting at your table to get up from where they are, and they're going to move to another table. So daddy's leaving the table, gentlemen, so you're going to be forced to make new relationships this morning. So we're going to mix and match or switch it up this morning. So gentlemen, get up, do the do-si-do, make your way to another table, and sit down, and we're going to get started here.
Father, our purpose, to get together, seek you, hear from you, know more about you, your character, want to worship you, and seeking your word. So I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts to hear the true word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll go with this one since it's working. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Like you said, I'm Johnny, and thank you for being here today. So over the last month, we have been meeting. Us five and one more who's not here today have been meeting and talking. And the biggest thing we've been doing is we've been praying and figuring out how we're going to go forward and helping the leadership in guiding the men and the ministry to grow the ministry. Because one of the things we've said, if you look here, we have a nice group of men here. But if you look at the total participation of the church, there's a lot of men that are not plugged in yet. So we were trying to figure out how do we reach out to those men. And we, through prayer and talking and discussing it just like we are, we gather every Tuesday in Sopo, and we talk to each other, and We discuss how the world, how the Lord is working in our lives and what He's telling us to do. So what we came up with is we need to find a way how to connect with the men, not just to come in, say hi, hello, give you a hug, and then be on our way. Even as leaders, some of us do not know what's going on with each other. And that was more evident when we were talking to each other and we were discussing what trials we were in. And we're like, and none of us really knew what all of us were going through until we started asking for prayer and saying, hey, I need prayer for this, pray for that. And then we realized all of us, to some degree, have some kind of trial we deal with on a daily basis. Whether it's something, an old habit we have, or it's a death in the family, our finances, something is always prevalent in our lives that we need prayer for, and and we can't do it alone. So, but we've been talking, we've been growing, and our relationship has been growing. So, we're getting together, and we're going to be going over Philippians 2, verses 2 through 4. So, if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and bring that verse up. If you have an electronic device, you can bring it up on your phone. But so over the last week or so, we have really been diving into this scripture to see what it means, because this means a lot on how we're going to carry this ministry forward. Moses, do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, why don't we just go through and read the scripture that we're opening up to. So it's Philippians 2, verse 2 through 4. And the New King James here says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And so as Johnny was kind of beginning to share, last month, Antonio had expressed to some of the leaders that, hey, a lot of the guys are coming up and asking to do more activities, to be involved, and they just want to kind of get out and in fellowship more than the monthly rallies. And I've felt that as well. And so we've done rallies and retreats and car shows and such in the past, and we all love them. I mean, it's, who doesn't like to go to a carnival or a fair or whatever, right? You get waffle cakes and turkey legs and all that stuff. But then you go home and it's kind of, it's done. It's gone over. And that's something that we've kind of witnessed in the past is, you know, we can plan for these retreats and we can have these big events, but then everybody goes home and there's like no growth. And it's kind of like the seed that falls on the rocky soil, right? It'll sprout up and then it dies. And so that's kind of how we came to this scripture here, Philippians 2:2, is it's basically we need to come back to this beginning, the relationship with Him first, right? First, we need to be like-minded, like with Christ, and then with each other, not being selfish and to be loving and kind and such like that. So that's how we got through here, and we got through here through prayer and meeting regularly. And it's really interesting how things have been just falling into place, just confirmation, even with Pastor Skip in the teachings, both in Philippians and, what's the other one on Wednesday's? Acts. So the early church. And so in both those cases, we see, you know, where's your joy at? You know, we can be happy. There's a complete different, you know, happiness is just a joy. You can buy probably happiness in many ways, but where's your life-sustaining joy? And so that's kind of how we came, just through the confirmation of His words. Like, wow, that's pretty cool. His word just affirms it through like the early church and how they gathered in small groups, right? It was first in Jerusalem, and then He told them to wait, right? Christ told them to wait in Jerusalem, and then from there it would go from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, and then to the outer parts of of the world. And so that's kind of how we came to the scripture in Philippians 2:2. And if you guys want to pipe in, that's fine.
Hey, Moses. So question, you said a quick thing there that said like-minded. Can you elaborate on what like-minded is?
Well, so like-minded, and I think the idea of even one accord here, as I was digging through, and I think in the world's view too, It could be translated as unity, one one world and let's just be all, you know, one thing and let's just love each other. But we need to remember that the love of this world is what they define is completely different than the love of Christ. I mean, he gave completely. He poured out everything. And, you know, another catch word we hear today is to be tolerant and to be just accepting of everybody's lifestyle and their choices and such. But I believe here Paul is talking about being in one in the mind of Christ. And that's different because we're not of this world. You know, we're adopted in. And so now we're to be one with Christ, like-minded with him. Mm-hmm. And then through that, you know, we discover there are other brothers also who are like-minded, who love him and who are about his purposes. So I think there's that definitive thing of being like-minded with him.
I think another example again, and for all those that are married, being like-minded with your wife, that can be a big struggle. I think when there's differences in that with your relationship with your wife, you know, it hinders in a sense. And when you're not on the same mindset in a sense, Moses brought up a good example as far as unity, and I found this in a commentary. It says, emphasizing the unity that should exist between brothers of faith, and we must single-mindedly strive together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's one of the examples as far as a commentary, you know, just giving an example of like-mindedness. So again, you know, just if we're not in the same mindset as Christ, we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle in whatever we do, just to kind of get back to, let's do these types of events. Are we all on the same mindset? Are we going in one direction? And if we don't have that, it's going to fall apart on us. And so that's the mindset that we kind of came to, is that let's start off kind of small, and then let's start working it out to others in a sense. So that's, you know, the kind of example that I was looking at as far as like-mindedness.
Okay. All right. Going forward with the live mic. Tim, when you go into the scripture here, what do you find about an example of the unselfishness that Christ left for us?
Well, when I was going through the scriptures, I was looking at what Christ did for us. What did he do that was unselfish? Well, first thing, he came down from heaven. You know, he came out of heaven down here to take our sins, put them on his back, take them to the cross, and die for us. And if you think about it, if he can do something like that, what could we do that's unselfish? Can we look to our brother to the left and see if he's hurting? Can you pray for him? Can you help him out with an issue with his car? For me, I struggle with being selfish. Sometimes, you know, with my work, you have to be selfish to advance your career. And I've struggled with that a lot, letting someone else take the glory for something that you did, you know, to help him with his success. But that's what I look at when Christ came down from heaven for me, you know, for all of us. It's the biggest unselfish thing anyone can do for anybody.
Cool. And Dennis?
I think your wife is calling you. No?
No? Okay. Thanks. No. We're like-minded. Tell the, you know, all up here. So, Dennis, following what Tim just said and what Christ did for us, how does Jesus love his neighbor? And what does that mean for us?
You know, I think in all ministries, we try to come up with things like we were talking about, is come up with different things that maybe we can get more guys involved and get closer. But one of the things that, is that better? Okay. One of the things that came to my heart when we were talking, all of our hearts, that's what the Spirit, we believe, did, is that, hey, what about, how much do you love your brother? How much do I love Johnny, Moses, these guys? And it's in direct relationship of how much I love Christ. Am I seeking Christ? And in seeking Christ, you're going to love your brother because that's what he's all about. So what does it look like? I had been involved in Promise Keepers back in 96. Went out there, and I went with a group of guys in a van, and my brother was coming later on a plane with Jerry Losey. Had a plane, and I was supposed to be on that plane, but turned out that I was going to be driving up. And so anyway, the plane crashed on the way. Four guys were on that plane. And the way I found out is I was at a Cracker Barrel after the Friday night. We were trying to wonder where my brother is, because I had a seat next to myself waiting for him to get there. But I found out through calling my wife at a Cracker Barrel on the phone. She goes, you gotta listen to this report about the crash. So my heart sank, and I went back to the table and said, I gotta call the the county sheriff's department to listen to this, what's going on. So long story short, I listened to the message about, and it sounded definitive that it was that plane, it was four fatalities. And the way I saw God's love through my brothers is, unbeknownst to me, there was a bunch of Promise Keeper guys in there, a bunch of God-fearing men that just, as I was on the phone, gathered behind me. I didn't even know. And they grabbed me and put me in the middle of the group and prayed over me, about 20 guys. Whew. I couldn't hardly handle that. That's the hand of God. I saw that. And one other thing real quick I wanted to bring up is Tilden. It was really cool is that our Monday morning Bible study, just a quick story. He started coming to our Bible study and had his car broken into. So we prayed as a group of guys for him, and he got it fixed and everything. And then he got broken into again. So we tried to steal his car like a couple weeks later. And it messed up his ignition. So I went over, we helped it, got it together. We prayed. And through that, I'm not glad that your car was broken into, but it was cool that it was broken into so that we could get together and do something together. And then, a week and a half later, they stole it. So what was it? 3 days ago, he sends out a text to me, hey, they stole it. I'm like, what? So send it out to the Bible study guys. We start praying, and his prayer is that he could talk to the thieves and pray and lift them up, pray that God would affect them. Well, they found his car, and he was able to go over there, and it wasn't the people that he talked to, but it was someone else that had stole some other cars, and so he got to witness to them. See what God is doing on that? It's so cool. So.
You have anything to follow up on that, Moses? So we're talking of a lot of stuff, and some of the words in the verse. I'm a little tongue tied right now, but can you elaborate of one accord? What one accord means? What you got from it?
So going back to the one accord thing, I know that it means being in one accord with Christ, and I want to elaborate a little more about we need to be careful with tolerating and accepting everybody's idea who are not like-minded with Christ. And I think the danger here is because the world says that you deserve to be happy, and you know, the pursuit of happiness, right? That's kind of one of the American dreams, right? But that the world's view of that, it'll just take you down. I mean, we live in probably the richest country in the world. We know that, and we see a lot of issues with people addicted to drugs and pornography. And I mean, you go after that life, and you know, you get high, you're going to come back down. You're going to crash. And you're going to go after something that's going to give you even a more high, because that level that you did before, whether it was shrooms or meth or whatever, it's not enough. You want to keep filling that void, but you just can't. Same with pornography. I mean, you just raise that bar and you can never be satisfied. So whether it's money, you're going to be greedy. Porn, you're going to end up a perv. The best thing to seek really is the Almighty High, the pure, holy God. He's the one that will fill us with true joy, true happiness. I mean, you aim high that way, and He'll fulfill everything in your life. Because we're all going to go through struggles. We're all dealing with things. And, you know, as we, you know, connect with each other, we begin to realize that, you know, my brother is struggling with whatever, maybe financial stuff or relationships, or, you know, maybe there was some abuse or something that happened that we're still holding on to. And a lot of us have gone through those same things. And so it's through those struggles that the Lord has walked us through that we're able to have that humility and understand and be loving, instead of, you know, pointing fingers and be like, you know, you're a sinner or whatever. Christ came and dined with the sinners, right? He dined with the tax collectors and the adulterers. They came and they were drawn to Him because He had so much love for them. While they were still sinners, you know, Christ died for them.
So on that, how many here that are watching in this room right now have ever been part of a one-man army? Yeah. I know I have. I go, I can do anything, right? And that was the way I was raised. My dad, old school, kind of say, it's all on you. You do everything. You're the front runner. You're a man. If you're going to be a man, you got to be your own army. You only can depend on yourself. Well, if I kept that logic, I probably would have gone crazy by now. But within the last month, I'm going to give you an example of why it's not wise to be a one-man army. So about 6 months ago, one of my nieces, for some odd reason, I text her. I said, how are you doing? And then on the following text, she says, Uncle, get over here now. So I dropped what I was doing, and I went over there. Turns out she was in a very dark place. There was alcohol all over her apartment. She was smoking weed, and she was thinking about taking her life right then and there. So when I got there, I said, what's going on? We started talking, and it was just a miserable place. I mean, if you can just picture it, it was dark in there, and then when I turned on the lights, there was cockroaches everywhere. It was just nasty, and I'm like, what are you doing? Because we thought she was okay because she was going to college and all, and she seemed like she was doing well. Well, she wasn't. So, speed up, and we asked her to move in with us so we could help her. So, she moved in with us. She was with us for a good 6 months. And then, she was doing good. She started coming to church with us. She was getting plugged in. She was doing her daily devotions with us. She became like a daughter real quick to us. And, we were just so proud how she was going. And, she got two jobs, was working. She was getting ready to go back to school. And she was just in a lot better place. And then, about a month ago, both her jobs gave her the same exact days off. So she went back home to spread the news with her younger brother. And she goes, I'll be back. I'm like, all right. And we didn't get to see each other. So we just said bye over the phone. Well, it turns out she left on Saturday about 2 p.m. By Sunday, 4 p.m., she was gone. Her and her little brother got in a car accident. And she immediately was gone. She was 23. Her brother was 21. So she was gone. Her brother called me to let me know what happened. And, you know, I'm Johnny. I'm the encourager with a lot of the people I'm around. So I'm always trying to encourage people. So I was just taking it in. And I did send a couple of texts out for prayer, but I said I could handle this. I was wrong. I was in denial the first couple of days, of course. Then my wife looked at me and she says, how come you're not going and talking to any of your brothers? I'm like, why? I go, I'm okay. She goes, no, you're not. She goes, I can see it in you. You're not okay. So then I started reaching out and I started talking to brothers. I think one of the first guys I talked to was Antonio. It was just weird. And as soon as I opened up my heart and just started to say, okay, I need to deal with this. Oh my goodness. Did I have troubles? I was sending out prayer to, I don't know how many people. I was like, I need prayer for me, my wife, all my wife's sisters. And, believe it or not, we went to the hospital because, the family was still with, the younger brother who was fighting for his life and still is. And, when I got there, we started talking to the family, and I told them, hey, I have people praying for us. And the dad says, who's a non-believer, says, you know what? That's what it is. There's a calm on me that I can't explain right now. And I just don't know why I'm so calm. Like, but now that you're saying so many people are praying for us, it makes sense. And then the brother goes, you too? I'm calm. I'm not freaking out. He goes, there's just a calm over me. And both of them are not believers. So it was really cool to hear. And it was one of the first times I seen and heard a non-believer acknowledge that there was something that they didn't understand happening with them. But now that I said people were praying for him, they understood it. But I didn't have that. I couldn't have done it by myself. It was like power in prayer. And then the more you go out and become involved in your church, the more people you just naturally meet. So it's no mistake that I know a lot of people because I'm forever trying to help and encourage people to do anything, especially when I worked here. You guys, Moses works here, but all of us are plugged in. Dennis has been here for forever, huh? Forever. Yeah. So, but without the church, without my fellow brothers, this process would have been a lot harder. And it's still, don't get me wrong, I still have my moments where I'm like, why? But it's not for me to ask why. I just have to have faith and keep my faith. And that's what I did. But my brothers came alongside of me and helped me keep my faith when I was getting, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where the intangible of building your relationships with the brother next to you, to the left or to the right, that's where all that comes in, because you never know when Satan is just going to take a wrecking ball to your life and try to knock you off your game. And if I hadn't paid attention to it, or my wife hadn't seen it in me, I don't know where I'd be right now. But I just praise the Lord that I have so many good brothers praying for me at that time.
And nice. I remember you came to my work, and when you told me about the story, and when he came to me, I felt his pain. You know, my fellow brother over here lost someone close to him. I remember my first time actually opening up at the men's rally. It was actually on this stage. I gave my personal testimony saying what I did. You know, my personal testimony is how I became to know Jesus is before I was married, I cheated on my wife. And through her prayer and love, she brought me to know Christ. I came to the Challenge Men's Ministry when Neil Ortiz was actually doing the teaching. He gave an altar call. I came up. I gave my life. And from there, I just got plugged in. I've known these guys since day one. Johnny, it was the time that we did the car show that actually got me plugged into here. And ever since then, these are my accountable buddies. You know, there's a couple times when I got laid off of work a year ago. I think it was five or six of my fellow brothers put their hands on me and say, hey, Jesus has your back. Don't worry. You know, and for me, without a job, I haven't had it, been without a job, you know, 15 years. It was the scariest thing I've ever went through. Johnny called me and said, hey, we're building a deck. Do you want to come? I said, sorry, brother, I can't. I'm over here crying. And my wife actually sent on a prayer request. And everybody responded to it. And from that moment on, I felt an ease come over me, knowing that my brothers around me were praying for me, were thinking of me at all times. And that's one thing that we're trying to get you gentlemen to understand. The guy to your left and the guy to your right is your brother in Christ. No matter what, you should always have that friend that you could call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, brother, I'm struggling. Pray for me. I need your help. I'm weak right now. I'm vulnerable. Please help. All the guys in here, we all have our pride where we're like, oh, we got this. We can handle it. And we all know that we can't. We've all been in a situation where we could use a fellow brother to put our hands on. Even the stranger next to you, he's a brother in Christ. If he looks hurt, ask him, hey, brother, what's going on? How can I help you? Can I pray for you? Can I do anything for you? You know, Jesus came down here to talk to all of us, to save all of us. So.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we all struggle with is the lone soldier picture, right? We put this front on to make it look like we have it all together. And that's actually, it hurts the church because, you know, when another brother sees us walking in and it looks like we have it all together, then, I mean, I know same for me. It's like, I see other brothers and like, man, he's got it all together. Now I gotta make it look like I have it all together. And that's, you know, who are you fooling? We're just fooling ourselves. And it helps us grow when we get together like this and recognize, you know, that it was the Lord's hand that did this, that put us together. It wasn't by accident. And you begin to see God's fingerprints all over your life through confirmation of his word or through a brother stepping up and, you know, it just so happened he's talking about the same thing that was on my heart or my home. And nobody told him about how is this? We can't look at these things as just mere coincidences. It's all his hand on it. And if we're open and receptive to hear from his spirit, we're going to see some awesome stuff. Jeremiah 33:3, I think it is, says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And these things, you know, that happen to us, we can't explain it to people because they haven't walked through that whole thing, the process, but that's okay. It's about him, right? It's about our relationship with him first. And then through that, we begin to see the fruit naturally. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to put on a fake front. You know, we have the joy within us. And it's his joy that's our strength. We don't have to rely on our own strength because we're all decaying anyways, right? We're all going to the same place. So praise God while we can.
And I think, you know, with this pride that we all have, we all have this pride in us. And the hard part is identifying that or examining ourselves in that to humble ourselves at those times. I struggle with it. I do. I do struggle with pride. I struggle at times to where, when things come up and I think I know better. Not just in the word, but other things, you know, outside of the word in a sense. But I am struggling with this is on my heart now. It's my son. He's struggling with pride, a lot of pride. He's struggling to a point where, you know, I'm trying to advise him, and I know God's going to be, you know, is going to take control of that, and I know that. But to see him struggle and try to make his own way in this world, you know, I see that it's at an age, a young age, and he's very. He struggles. So I advise him in these areas that, you know, that he needs to put his dependence on the Lord. And so not even the Lord, you know, we're there to try to help him in certain things. And he's always, no, I don't want to be a burden on you. I don't want to take, you know, I'll do it on my own. All these things, we come up with these different excuses to not accept that help. And when you come to Christ, you start to identify that you need him. You are on total dependence on him. Because once we start to drift from that, and just like what Peter focused his eyes on the Lord, walked on water. He looked one way, he went down. And that's going to happen to us when this pride gets a hold of us. And so, yeah, you know, I see it in my son right now. And I think, again, it's just something that maybe had brushed off from me in a sense. So I just, I pray for him and I ask for your prayers for him as well. His name's Eric. And so I'm glad that my son-in-law is here as well. Glad to see him here. I love you. So just, you know, just pray for my son.
Let's pray for Ed right now and his family. Lord Father, we just pray for his son, Lord God, Eric, and Lord, it's painful, Lord, to see your loved ones, Lord Father, struggling and kicking, Lord, against the goals that we all have, Lord Father. And Lord God, it hurts, Lord Father, but we know that you know hurt more than any of us will ever, Lord God. You came to this earth, Lord Father, and suffered, Lord God. You put up with the shame, humility, abuse, Lord God, lashings, Lord, backstabbing, Lord Father, you know it all. I just pray, Lord, that since you conquered all that, Lord, by your love, by your spirit, Lord God, and that we can trust in your promises, Lord God, that we can lean wholeheartedly in you, Lord Father, knowing that you are still on the throne, Lord Father. You always were, you always will be, Lord Father, and that we could lean on the eternal almighty God that we've been adopted in, Lord Father, that whatever we ask, Lord, in your name, Lord, we have it, Lord Father. So we want to lift up Ed, his son, Lord, his family, Lord Father, that you would just comfort him, Lord Father, and his family. Give them direction, Lord Father, to continue to pursue you, Lord, and see your will, Lord God. Give them hope, Lord Father, for the plans you have for him are for good and for not of evil, Lord Father. We just thank you, Lord Father, for your promises and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, God's timing. So the next question was, how can you encourage others through your attitudes and your actions? So that's a good question. I believe that was my area. So I'll take this question. So how do you encourage others through your attitude and actions? Well, the first thing is not your attitude and it's not your actions. Everything has to be grounded in the Word and through what Jesus directs us to do in our lives. So that's where the like-minded, one accord, unselfishness, that's where all that comes into play. Because if you yourself are trying to give encouragement, you're just a man trying to give encouragement to another man. And our power on this world can, maybe you can see it a little bit, but it's usually not for the best intentions of the people. So when you're encouraging someone, but that encouragement is coming from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in you and breathes in you, and you dive into His Word each morning or each evening or anytime you can, that is when your words of encouragement will come through, because it's not you, it's Him working through you. That was the biggest example I could ever give to my wife when she was saying that she loved how much her mother loved them. Her mom was. She was just off the wall charts a believer in Christ. She was Navajo, but they never really practiced the Navajo traditions. But she always talked about her love, and all the sisters just couldn't grasp it. They go, it just doesn't feel like mom. And I go, well, I can kind of tell you why. It's because since mom died, all of you started falling away from church. I go, instead of falling away, you need to fall back into church, fall back into His Word, and let Him breathe through you, because it wasn't only your mom's love, it was Jesus Christ's love that was coming through, and she was sharing that with you. So if we let the Holy Spirit come into our life and let it live through us, that is when you will make the most impact among anyone around you. The man to the left, to the right of you, no pride in front of you. That's the way you got to go through, and that's the way I have learned, because I was probably a very, very prideful dude at one time. I won't go that far back, but yes, it was all about me at one time, and every now and then it sneaks up on me, and one of my brothers slapped me on the head and bring me back down to earth. So it's good. It's good to be accountable by my brother. So, but when it comes to encouragement, you have to understand that God has to be the encourager through you, not you. Anyone want to add to that?
Also on that, it is in the Bible, you know, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if your brother's going through something, be there for him. You know, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, sharpen another brother. That's our logos, iron sharpens iron. We're all here for one another. If we boast up, we slap you down. Humble ourselves. So,
yeah. So, in the New Living Translation version, which actually was blessed upon me through Pastor Carey, because all I ever believed in was the King James Version, even though I didn't understand half what I read. When I got the New Living Translation, it kind of helped me a little bit more. So this is what it says in 1 Peter 5 and 6. Well, mostly 6. God opposes the proud but favors the humble. So you have to remember that. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. That says it all right there. You stay humble, and at the right time, He will bring someone into your life and use you to have a positive effect in their life for you to be able to share His wisdom with them. Does that make sense, everybody?
Yeah.
All
right. And I found this one as well. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 through 7 says, in the same way, encourage, exhort the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching.
So, you know, we're just wanting you guys, our heart's desire is that you guys would look to a brother, as we've been talking about, because we all need each other. And I know that maybe not everybody's involved in a connect group or a Bible study of some type, but I've been involved in a Bible study for 20-some years, and we meet Monday mornings. But seek out a Bible study you can get connected to, even if it's just you and another guy. But God will bless that, because He says here in John 17:21 is that, that they would all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So that's our desire, is that other guys are going to see how we react with each other and know that God sent His Son. That's how they're going to see? Wow. So it's the relationship that we have with each other that Christ has given us, that the world is going to see that God has sent Christ to you, right? So that's our desires. That's how the gospel is shared, right? Is people can see it, not only hear it.
And it's going back to, again, seeing God's work just taking place in front of your eyes. Our intention wasn't to speak about connect groups. It just so happens this is a connect group weekend where you can find out more about groups and how to get involved, whether you want to join or be a leader. Really, I mean, this was a month ago when we first met at the last rally. And we came to the scripture through praying with each other and gathering together like the early church. And here we are a month later, just so happens to be the weekend where you find out about how to get connected into a group. That's the Lord doing the work, and we just happen to be present in it. And so if you guys are not plugged into it already, it's probably the best thing that's helped me grow, other than, you know, obviously we need the Spirit and His Word, and I got to turn my phone off here because time's up or something close. Anyways, get plugged in if you are not already.
So if you're sitting there asking yourself, what does the Connect group look like? Pretty much, this is a very basic form of a Connect group. It's just you and your brothers and a couple of sisters, maybe, depending on what type of Connect group you're in. The Challenge Men's Ministry has a couple of men-only Connect groups, but there's Connect groups like all over the place, in all different forms, all over the city. Matter of fact, I belong to a Connect group here with a couple of my brothers here that are veterans, and it's going to be it's a veterans-only Connect group. So we just started that not too long ago. And a funny thing about that is my work came and told me that I could no longer lead the Connect group because of my position with the company. And I'm like, okay, so I didn't know how to deal with that. So I went and talked to Pastor Antonio, and I said, I think I need to find a host home because I need to take it away from my work because they don't want me to be involved. But it turns out that they didn't want me to be involved at all in the Connect group because of my position. So we're blessed, and through God's working, all of a sudden, too, the veterans that were in this program, they're moving out, getting their home place, and without knowing it, their places are right next to each other. Like, they're in an apartment complex, and they're right next to each other. They're neighbors. So we're going to move the Connect group over to them, And so God just, He's already gone before us. That's the biggest thing you have to know. That's why they say don't have fear. God has already gone before you and on the path that He's chosen for you, and He's prepared the way for you. So you just got to remember that, that it's bigger than us. All right. So someone want to?
I'll wrap it up, gentlemen. All right. Before we kick into our discussions, I want, and the benefit of this ministry is we can get raw and we can get personal in here. And I think that's one of the benefits that you guys get to coming to this room, that we can have that rawness about what's really going on in our lives. So I want to talk on four topics real quick, and I want to get personal. So I want to do this with humility, but I want to do it with enough force to get your attention. I have the privilege of being here for all four services as a pastor. It's a privilege and it's an honor. And I get to watch, for the most part, every single one of you come in, walk through the doors. And a good thing is that you have your foot in the door. You're coming to church. You're participating in worship and you're here. However, I see married men. I see singled men. I see the U-turn guys. So I want to address every single one of you in the room. But many of you, and you know who I'm talking to, are alone. Some of you have been in for counseling. Some of you should come in for counseling. But many of you are alone, and you know it. I was that guy who was alone until Pastor Neil took me under his wing and he brought me here. So I wanna address that, and I want to reason with you guys. Let us reason together in that life doesn't have to be that way. If you are alone, if you're coming to church and you're going home and you're alone the rest of the week, you're trying to fight the world, you're trying to stay away from sin, but you keep getting sucked back into it because you're alone. It doesn't have to be that way. And that's the reason why we brought these guys up here, so you could kind of see an example of what we're trying to introduce you guys to. So I want to persist in encouraging you guys to take part in this, but I also want you to take into consideration that, you know, we all come from different walks of life. Some of you guys are insurance agents. Some of you guys are realtors. Some of you guys are construction workers. Some of you are in the military. But the one thing that will unite all of us is the Word of God. It's the Bible. So I want to reason with you. If you say that I can't relate to these other guys, I'm a veteran and I just can't relate to those guys, or I'm a white collar worker, I'm a CEO, or I'm a lawyer of a company, I just can't relate to these guys, I would challenge you in saying that the Word of God will unite. Try it. Try it. So I want you to be an example. Be like-minded. Even though you're from different walks of life, I'm going to challenge you with something, okay? Now, for those of you who came in here, you know who you are. You're alone. You are alone. You're not part of a small group. You're walking through this world. You're trying to fight the world, and it's you're going to lose. You are going to lose. So I'm going to challenge you. There's a man at your table, or there's a man in this room. We want to see every single man connect with at least one other man, get their phone number, and have lunch for the next 2 weeks. Take 2 weeks. We're going to come back next month, and we're going to see how many men took that challenge and how many of you will have a testimony of that benefit. So you could, again, the Lord gives us choices. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. You could walk out of that door and not take my advice, and you're going to be in the same situation. Nothing's going to change. Or you could take my advice, connect with a brother in Christ, go out and have lunch with him, and start, we talk about the crawl, walk, run method. Before you can walk and run, you got to crawl. Have lunch with one brother in Christ. And during your discussions, talk about the things of the Lord and see what happens. That's the challenge. Also, at the church, we try to create an environment where it's easy for you to do that. That's why we have these tables. You guys are going to get in your discussion. So it's kind of a microcosm of what we want you guys to be doing on a weekly basis. So we provide the opportunity and the environment for this to be easy for you. So if you are desiring to take the advice and join a group, join another brother, tonight and all three services tomorrow, we're going to have tables out here in the amphitheater. There's going to be, we want every single connect group to be out there. If you're not involved in a small group, connect groups are the things that we provide for you guys to make it easy for you to have a small group. So here's the thing. You come to church, you walk up to one of the tables, maybe it's a men's table, maybe it's a mixed connect group. You say, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm looking to join a connect group. Tell me about yours. And they'll hand you their invite card and they say, come to my group Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or whatever night it is. We make it easy for you. It's possible. Or you could choose to walk out the door, never make contact with anybody, and continue to live the same stagnant life. Christ said that I came that they may have life and life more abundantly. Do you want the abundant life? Okay, for those of you that do, here's the way to do it. You begin by connecting with brothers in Christ, beginning just about speak of the things of the Lord. Think in your own life, the men here that are isolated, if you just want to continue to live like that. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting change. It's not going to change. So here's a way to make it change, and we're going to make it easy for you. So before we kick it into our discussions, I do want to let you know about next month. We want you guys to come back. We're going to be back in the Word. Pastor Austin Walker, would you please come up here? I want to introduce you. Give it up for Pastor Austin Walker. He's too humble. He doesn't want to come up here, but I want to introduce my brother in Christ. He is now going to be part of the Challenge Men in Ministry team. He's going to be teaching next month, but I want you to look at his face, get to know this guy. He's a great brother in Christ. He's a pastor on staff here. Him and I, we came on staff about the same time, so we're definitely peers. We're going through the same thing. So he'll be here next month teaching, so welcome him when you see him. And before we end, I just want to close in prayer, okay? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the example of men getting together and fellowshipping and talking about the things of the Lord, lifting one another up in prayer. And, Lord, striving after the abundant life in Christ, Lord, we pray that every man in here who is isolated, who's not connected, we pray that they would take that step to be vulnerable and connect with another man, to begin to crawl so that they could walk and then they could be running, Lord. So we thank you for this opportunity. We pray for the discussions at the tables, and we ask, Lord, that you would soften the hearts of all the men who have hardened hearts right now, Lord. We pray that you would fill us all with the Holy Spirit and do your work and change lives, Lord. You're about changing lives. You're about healing broken hearts. You're about healing broken homes and healing broken lives, Lord. So we pray that you would reason with these men, Lord, and that you would make a change, Lord. And we ask this all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah.